Well, tonight we return to our studies in Psalm 119. Psalm 119, and if you recall, we're in the portion from verse 65 through to verse 72. So we'll read those words, Psalm 119, verse 65 through to verse 72. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Our text tonight is verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Dear congregation, the apostle wrote in Hebrews 12, verse 6 and 7, For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? God's children are so loved by the Lord, as the apostle Paul made plain there. They are cared for, they are provided for and protected, and because of his love in a special way, they are chastened. The purpose why the believer is chastened or afflicted in view of chastening, we know, as we will consider tonight, not all affliction by a long way is because of the Lord's chastening. But affliction in view of chastening is that the believer, having been restored, might press forward in perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now the Lord, as we will see tonight, sometimes uses affliction to bring us back from going astray. And that's the testimony here of the psalmist. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. It's his own testimony. And just come with me to verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Well, first of all, tonight, I'd like us to consider going astray. Secondly, being afflicted. Thirdly, keeping God's word. First of all, tonight then, going astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. Now, generally, we can consider that men go astray. You recall those words in Isaiah 53, verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray. And if we look back tonight to our pre-converted state, how we were going in the wrong direction. We were going astray. All we like sheep have gone astray. As that verse goes on to show, are we not thankful that Christ came and he bore our sins, that we would know the life, that we would know the blessing of redemption and that of following him in this life. So then, our pre-converted state, we were like sheep going astray. But we recognize here tonight, and as we will have just sung rather, we as the Lord's people, from another perspective, are found going astray. Yes, we know the Lord, but all we have found, like the psalmist, going astray. We were born again through the work of the Holy Spirit. We were justified, which includes the forgiveness of all our sins. There was initial sanctification. We rightly consider progressive sanctification because there's indwelling sin, but let's remember there is initial sanctification. As Professor John Murray rightly pointed out, and others, our state in Christ, sanctified, there's initial sanctification, yet we were not made perfect. And we battle with indwelling sin. There's a battle, isn't it? We see that in Romans 7. At times we are found doing that which we do not want to do. Now at times, through the help of the Holy Spirit, we are able to resist some sin. You remember Joseph? He was tempted by Potiphar's wife day after day. And this is what he said on one occasion. Genesis 39 verse 9. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? How then? The temptation was there again, as it had been previously. He gets himself out. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? He was helped to say no. And there are those times when temptation arises, and through the help of the Holy Spirit, we say no. However, there are other times when temptation presents itself, and sadly we yield and we begin to go astray. There is the beginning of this going astray. And if we do not quickly humble ourselves and seek forgiveness, one can be found going down a pathway that is not good. Sadly, and we know this all too well, sin is always within us. We're sinners, aren't we? We look forward to the moment when we will be delivered from sin. As we see in Hebrews chapter 12, sin remains within. But then there comes at times a temptation. And one can then go and find themselves following a certain path. And one can pursue that path for a few minutes. And then that path can give way to a few hours, maybe a few days. And sadly, for some, it can go on longer, for days, weeks, and months. Consider David. How he went astray when he beheld Bathsheba and committed adultery in his heart. And it was a number of days, wasn't it, before Nathan came and said, "Thou art the man." He began on that course. He was going astray, and he went astray for a while. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Let's note this word, astray. The Hebrew word is shagag, literally means to sin, to stray, to sin. There is the right way, the way of God's commandments. When one deviates, they go astray, they sin. The shepherd leads in the right way, the sheep follow, but when a sheep departs from that way, it goes astray. There is the right way of God's law, and when one leaves that right path, they sin, they go astray. John wrote in 1 John 3 verse 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." We stray from God's way. We have this battle. And often the believer is found beginning to stray. Sometimes they pursue that path for a while. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." We stray from God's way. Listen to the Puritan Thomas Manton. "The best of us, if left to ourselves, how soon are we out of the right way?" How quickly temptation can come. And if we're not careful, we can be found yielding to temptation. One can follow and tread down that path for a while. David knew it all too well, and it was a grief to him. And we see that here, do we not? "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." He owns up, and we own up to the Lord, don't we? We own up to him who searches our hearts. Remember those words in Psalm 139? "Search me, O God." What a prayer. To ask that God would search us and see if there be any wicked way in me. What a prayer it is. Spurgeon speaks of we need much boldness to be able to ask that. Will we come to the Lord? He searches us. He knows us. He knows when we go astray. Well, it's good to examine ourselves, isn't it? It is so important that we sit down and examine ourselves. A few months ago, I went for medical. Lots of questions were asked. Had to hold up my hands, touch my toes. The doctor checked my eyes and my ears, my tongue, my reflexes. He banged my knees and my elbows. He checked my balance, if I could stand up. He checked my weight quickly. He did all this. It was a thorough examination. We need to sit down and consider our ways, consider our lives. Now, word of caution. We are to do this, but we shouldn't linger too long. We need to, where we see we may be going wrong on a certain day, we need to quickly seek forgiveness, for it will do us no good to linger too long on examining ourselves. It's important, but when we discover, oh, we must go quickly, we must seek fatherly forgiveness. But we need to examine ourselves. It's so vital, isn't it? We need to check ourselves. We need to ask, am I going astray at this present time in some area of my life or in many areas of my life? We need to humbly examine ourselves. Now, I do not know your hearts and your thoughts. And so I will ask these questions generally in view of the Ten Commandments tonight. Let's just examine our ways. First of all, with bearing in mind the Ten Commandments, so we're asking certain questions in light of the Ten Commandments. First of all, am I persisting in putting yourself first instead of God? Maybe in some area, are you putting God first? Secondly, and it's just general questions, I'm not thinking of anyone particularly. Secondly, are you engaged in any false worshipping of God? That's in light of the second commandment, isn't it? Thirdly, is there any careless use of God's name? Is there any careless use of God's name? There's a certain lady who used to live in this village, and I would see her from time to time, and she was a churchgoer, not here, but in another place. And in most of her conversations, she would take the name of the Lord in vain. I don't think really she was aware. She was just so used to it. Leaders in the church she attended, they had not pointed it out from the pulpit faithfully. She wasn't aware. She was going astray, using God's name. And you know, it's not the first person I've met who's gone to church and used God's name in vain. Fourthly, is there any continued deliberate breaking of the Sabbath? How do we think of this? Well, something we do, and then we just excuse it. A continued deliberate breaking of the Sabbath. Fifthly, are you regularly dishonouring parents or those in authority over you? Sixthly, is there any sinful anger festering in your heart and you're not dealing with it? You've begun to go astray and you're going down that path. Seventhly, is there a path being pursued of adultery in your heart? Eighthly, is there any form of stealing taking place? We can think of those words, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And where we can, we must obey God and render unto Caesar. But one may say, well, I don't think I want to render there. Ninthly, have you told any lies recently to cover up some other sin? Tenthly, are you in a sinful way coveting after something and it's taking a lot of your thinking when you sit down? Well, here's some general questions, as I say. I'm not thinking of anyone particular, just these general questions, but they help to make us sit down and examine ourselves. Because sometimes the Christian may be going astray and they don't recognize it in some area. But the psalmist, he was brought to a point, he recognized it in view of Bathsheba and what he did in view of Uriah. He went on his way until Nathan came. Thou art the man. Oh, he knew then he had gone astray. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. One can begin to stray, and if they're not careful, left to themselves, if they do not humble themselves, they can stray for a while. Let me use an illustration. Sometimes in a flock, one sheep just turns, and the shepherd calls, and that sheep hears and quickly comes back. But then another one turns and goes off in a wrong direction, and they go further and further, and they don't listen. They've begun, and they go down a path. They go astray. I have gone astray like a lost sheep, said the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 176. I have gone. And that verse goes on to say this. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandment. Seek thy servant. If we know we're going astray, pray to the shepherd. Seek thy servant. And you notice those words there, that there's so much in those words. Lord willing, if we get to those words at the end of this series, oh, there'll be much there for us. The psalmist believed in the compassion of the shepherd. The psalmist believed in the compassion of Christ. He'd gone astray, but seek thy servant, seek me. He would have never prayed that if he did not believe there was mercy in the heart of Christ. I have gone astray like a lost sheep, seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Seek me, Lord, bring me back. Now notice this here. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. He went astray. He looks back. And we may be able to look back tonight at a particular time when we went astray. But now we trace God's dealings. He dealt with us. And he brought us back. And now we are seeking to keep his word. We may consider what we have done, but we can also consider God's dealings with us. And that brings us to our second point tonight, being afflicted. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. We have here the word afflicted, to chasten, to humble. Now, right at the outset, let me underline, we must not conclude that every affliction is sent to correct us. We must not conclude that. We must be very careful. And can I say this? When you consider others, you be very careful. We must be very careful in this. We might be quick to say, well, that's because of that. Be very careful. The Lord knows what he does. So let me underline this as we come to this subject tonight. We must not conclude every affliction is sent to correct us. Let me just simply illustrate this. Some afflictions are sent that we might prove again God's wonderful grace. Remember the apostle, he sought the Lord 3 times that the thorn in the flesh might be removed. And the answer came back, my grace is sufficient for you. And that may be a reason, one of the reasons of affliction, that you might marvel at God's wonderful grace. Secondly, it may be that through affliction we learn afresh the power of God to support us and then subsequently deliver us. Thirdly, affliction can come, and it may be that God shows through affliction his special care of us. And then we can testify of our faith in God, our trust in affliction. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. You remember Paul was caught in a storm, Acts 27. And he said this to the centurions and the soldiers, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me." Remember, the Lord had made plain that he would be kept. The Lord made plain in that storm, in that trial for the Apostle Paul, his care of him. And the Apostle Paul, in that trial, through the Lord's enabling, was able to show and to declare his faith before those men. And that may be a purpose, one of the purposes of a certain affliction, that the Lord draws near and really impresses upon you how much he loves you and cares for you. And then you, in response, can make plain to others, "I'm trusting in God. I'm singing in the fires." Remember Paul and Silas? Here's another proof occasion, isn't it? They were cast into the inner prison. It wasn't to correct them. It was because of the evil of that man. Yet the Lord was there, and they were able to sing praises unto God. And what a testimony, the prisoners heard them. So then, not always does affliction come to correct us. However, we must recognize God does use certain afflictions on certain occasions. We need to understand that. That's what we're learning tonight, isn't it? Before I was afflicted, I went astray. You remember Jonah? He disobeyed the Lord, and a storm was sent, and it pursued Jonah. Jonah 1, verse 1. Father, verse 2, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare of and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. He wouldn't listen to the Lord. He was God's disobedient servant. And he sought to flee from the presence of God. Young people, the presence of God was known in a special way there in the land of Israel. But here's Jonah. He sought to flee, and the Lord sends a storm, a trial which would humble Jonah. The Lord at times has sent certain afflictions to chastise his people. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Whom the Lord loveth. And we need to recognize this. It is the Lord's fatherly dealings with us. Let me say again, we must be very careful on this subject. Not every affliction is sent to correct us, but we do see the truth that God does at times use certain afflictions. "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth." He will train as a child. He will teach. He will train up as a child. And sometimes there can be pain in the heart, and one can be brought low, pricked in the heart. The Lord does use affliction. "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." He was going astray. The Lord used an affliction to bring him back. The Lord uses certain afflictions to train us, to discipline us, to instruct us. Remember this, it's for our good. You recall those words in Hebrews 12, verse 10. "For they verily, for a few days, chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Hebrews 12, verse 11. "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." For our profit. That's so interesting, isn't it? The Lord may use a certain affliction, and we're humbled. We know pain within. It's not a joyous experience. But it's for our profit. Because the shepherd is bringing us to a point when we seek fatherly forgiveness. And we desire to walk in the right way. And we desire to perfect holiness and the fear of God. The shepherd comes and restores the soul. Psalm 23, we're going to sing it in a moment. It's a lovely psalm, isn't it? We often think of those words, he restoreth my soul. You know, you may have been struggling. Some trial has come. We're not considering a trial to correct us, but some trial, and you're finding it hard, and you're struggling, and you may be crying, and the shepherd comes alongside, and he comforts you, and he lifts your heart. He restores your soul. You were cast down, but he lifts you. But then consider at times, there's this restoring. We had eyes for some sin, but the shepherd had love in his eyes, and he came alongside. He convicted us, and he restored us. He brought us near. I have to confess, this happened often. I used to be told off, and there was a form of discipline. And I would be cross with my parents for a while, but when it came to a point on certain occasions when I was humbled and I began to cry, I'd go to my father or my mother and I would say sorry, and they would put their arm around me. You did wrong, but we forgive you. You know, you parents, what a blessing it is to be able to say to the child, you're forgiven, when they've humbled themselves. What a blessing it is when we sense the restoring and the shepherd comforts us. You're forgiven. It's for our profit, isn't it? It's not a joyous experience being chastened by affliction, but it's for our good, isn't it? It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. There's fruit, there's blessing. The shepherd comes and restores the soul. William Cowper, not the hymn writer, but the Scottish psalm singer of Galloway. There were two Cowpers at least. William Cowper of Galloway, writing on this verse, said this: David professes that the chastisements of God have made him more godly. David professes that the chastisements of God have made him more godly. And with that in mind, we come to our third and final point: keeping God's word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. And we see here that affliction was sanctified for the benefit of David. And if God uses a certain affliction to correct us, what a blessing. When it's used and is sanctified, that we are found turning and following God's word again. Affliction is sanctified for our benefit. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. The psalmist, he had turned and he had sought now to do that which was right. And it's a blessing, isn't it, when we feel the Lord's dealings and our mind is on the Lord now. We've sought him for fatherly forgiveness, and now we're seeking to do that which is right. We know what the Lord has been saying to us, and now we're seeking to follow him. There's a purpose here in these afflictions which are sent to correct us. That is, that we might repent and seek now to do that which is right. The Puritan Thomas Manton: the end of it is our repentance and amendment to correct sin that is past or prevent sin to come. There's a turning. Before there was disobedience, but now obedience. Before David went astray, now he's staying near God's word and the Lord himself. There's not only a hearing, but a keeping. And the believer seeks now to run the way of God's commandments. Just notice verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge me. I don't know if you do any running. I know some of you do. You enjoy a little run. Do you enjoy running spiritually? At times, it's more like the hurdles race for me and I stumble. But I do enjoy those occasions when I find myself running. And I want to run. I want to so follow the Lord. What a blessing if the Lord uses affliction to correct us that we might run the way of God's commandments. There's a running. Just notice verse 59. I fought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Before he was going astray, but then the Lord came and the Lord humbled him and he fought on his ways and he turned his feet unto God's testimonies. He was going the wrong way, but now his feet are facing the right way. And then comes verse 60. I made haste. What a blessing when you're running. At times we feel there's a slowness, but what a blessing when you're running spiritually. My feet have been turned, my heart is stirred, my soul now follows hard after thee, and I want to please thee rather than hide from thee. You remember Adam and Eve? They sought to hide themselves in the garden. And when we go astray, we begin to hide ourselves. Perhaps we give little time for the reading of God's word. We try to put out any thoughts that, well, perhaps I'm doing wrong. But oh, when one is restored, they want to please the Lord. Dear brothers and sisters, do not we want to please the Lord every day? Oh, to be drawn closer to him. Well, as we conclude, consider this. As we think of these words here tonight and this subject, and we must be very careful. Let me underline that. We must be very careful. We mustn't conclude that every affliction is sent to us in order to correct us. As we have seen, there are other purposes of affliction at times. But let me say this in conclusion. As you consider these things, do not we see God's love and mercy for us? How he, in a loving and merciful way, deals with his children. What a compassionate shepherd we have. How he deals with us. No wonder the psalmist said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Consider his dealings with you. How he deals. How he corrects at times. But then quickly embraces and helps us on our way. And we're found seeking to live for him again. And we are, with this desire in our hearts, we have a desire to please him. Amen.